Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light. Welcome to this episode of Taboo Talks, where we are exploring the multidimensional world of gender identity. Today, we are so honored to be joined by Onyx Soul Bianco. Onyx is a passionate spark of multidimensional transformation and art, here to hold space for the gifts of poetry, music, and radiant self-becoming. Welcome, Onyx. So
Thank
nice
you
to
so
have
much.
You here. Yes. We figured it out. I would love to talk to you. We had some tech issues, you know, it's all part of it, but we're here, we're live, we're present, and we're really grateful to have you on the show today.
I feel so grateful to be here to talk about this.
Yeah, my heart feels really expanded. Okay, let's dive right in. I'd love to just ask you a bit about, not a bit, I'd like to ask you the whole bit about your journey with gender identity and where you are with your concept of gender identity now in your life.
Yeah. Both and neither is definitely a key phrase, I would say, at this point. When I was a kid, I had some concept of feeling incongruent with the sex that I was born into, but I also had an immediate understanding that that wasn't okay, and it was something I just sort of suppressed, you know? And I went through a whole phase in which I was really trying to put on femininity in ways that I was seeing others do. And that was interesting in and of itself. And then I went through a whole phase in which I was actually genuinely embracing as much as I could the divine feminine and connecting to her within me. And that was such an important arc in my journey, you know? And now it feels amazing to be standing more so in my divine masculine. And I think about the little kid that I was that always felt like a knight, you know? And now I get to be that knight for the feminine. And I just feel ecstatic with that, you know? But I also recognize that this sort of seamless, at this point, coming together of both energies is one of the gifts that I have to give by virtue of being who I am. And that feels really special and really important to me.
That's super touching. Now, from what I understand, you've been like undergoing a physical transformation too. Do you feel like when you were younger that something was off, like the outsides didn't match what you were feeling on the inside? Can you share a bit more about what that process was like for you and how you're feeling today in your body?
Yeah. So I remember when I was a kid with my best friend in literally in kindergarten, you know, we were looking at one of these magazines with the cute boys that were in them. And I said to her, it's not that I like him. It's that I want to be him. You know, like I knew it that young. But then I'm a singer. You know, this has been such a big part of my journey, and something that it felt really difficult for me to let go of in the idea of altering my body and my voice was just this singing voice that I had gone to such painstaking efforts to dig out of me. That was such a big part of the journey. But I also recognized that when I would sing, I felt it was all primarily here. And I used to just be this voice and this guitar, but I didn't really feel very present in my body. I wasn't present there at all. And now what I've been getting to experience has been just this ex the voice coming from deeper and deeper inside of my body. And so at first it was just an effort to even get it out, but then it became this concentrated effort of clearing the channels from deep inside of my body, so that the voice now is resonating in this whole vessel. And that has been such a wild and rewarding experience. And when I sing, it's the best way that I have to relate to this experience of being now more embodied. Because even when I perform, even when I play my guitar, I'm standing on my feet, my body is moving. I feel so much more in it, you know?
Yeah, I hear your connection to your music has stood as a pillar of grounding you in your truth, right? Like it's allowed you to kind of like dig deeper into like what's underneath. I mean, these like subconscious blocks around our voice, which so many of us carry. I literally just had a coaching call with my coach before this, and it was around my voice. And I like we went straight to the root of the sub
Wow.
went right into the inner child and like got down deep. And there's so much around our voice and our expression, and I hear that potentially like shifting that in your journey was a little bit scary. Or like, can I trust my voice on the other side? Can I trust my voice if something changes? And what's really coming through is if we trust ourselves fully, we always trust our voice, no matter how it sounds, no matter what comes through, right? Because that's just a story and a judgment of how we think it should be. But our voice part of our body, and we're safe to trust our body. And I hear that you've remembered that on your journey, which is just really beautiful and inspiring.
I love the way you've put that. And prior to receiving the name Onyx, the first name I received is now my middle name, Soul. And I was working with soul through very many different lenses. But what I learned early on was that soul is the note G, which is the throat chakra's note. So it was very throat focused. But then when you think of soul as well, I mean, there's also the solar plexus. And I just, in the past, I couldn't really access that power center. And now I feel as though I've finally bridged this gap between that power center and the throat. And that just feels so good. So good.
So good.
It's wild
What a name holds in it, like the medicine and the activations and the embodiment that just by going by this new name will unlock in your being and in your reality. I remember sharing that conversation with you briefly when we met and found that was super interesting. I would love to hear more about your journey up until now in terms of when was it that you finally felt comfortable enough to really claim your gender identity, in what did that process look like of you sharing, like, I actually feel like I resonate more with the divine masculine? And for those listening, I'm sure there's people listening and watching who, are going through or have been through a similar process, and maybe sharing your story could be really supportive and inspiring for them to listen to.
Yeah, I appreciate that prompt. There's something that feels very near and dear to me relative to this topic that I think is so basic, so fundamental, and so essential, and it's that of safety. It's that of safety, that of home. And the body is a home, And Elfina, we've connected over astrology, right? I mean, for me, I've been peeling back the layers around this Chiron in Cancer wound to such a degree, and it's been home. And yeah, I mean, I love how you even pose the question of when did you feel sort of, comfortable enough to even initiate a sort of transition, right? So it wasn't until March 21st of 2022 that I actually began taking testosterone. And I did choose that date very intentionally, and I chose the time very intentionally because I was choosing my birth chart very intentionally.
Yes.
And I chose that particular moment because the sun was shining its light on Mars at the moment when I was born. So at the first degree of Aries Mars in the first degree of Aries now, the sun is there. And I did that because in my natal chart, Mars is in the ninth house of the journey and of travel. And I realized in reflecting on my life up to that point that I hadn't felt more comfortable and more like myself than in those moments in which I was traveling. That's when I felt sort of most connected to myself. That's when I felt I was moving through the world most boldly. And I wanted to take that into every layer of my experience, you know? And I also thought it was fitting that I would be shining a light on this masculine energy within me, you know? And really what that did was in that moment, it wasn't even just necessarily having decided to start taking the hormones that was the most powerful. It was that in that moment I vowed to only to only do the things that I genuinely desired to do. That I was gonna stop just doing things that I was supposed to do or that I needed to do or that, you know. I said, no, like I'm going to really honor whatever it is that my desire is telling me. And even if this looks really messy and even if it feels really scary, this is what I'm going to do. And that set off such a chain reaction of things. And to be completely honest with you, it was really freaking hard for a while. Really freaking hard, you know? And part of that was that I went through this arc of houselessness. You know, and navigating just altering my physical vessel, it was like I was giving up those things that were providing me with this false sense of security, and then my reality was directly reflecting that to me. And what I was coming to understand by that point was that there's a difference between being houseless and being homeless. And I was cultivating such a degree of home within my body that even when I didn't have exterior container of house, I still had home within. And it's also helped me to really connect to and cultivate just such a degree of empathy for this kind of experience, but more so just a really rooted understanding of how important safety in one's own self is and comfort in one's own self is. And I feel that that's something universal, you know? I feel that that's something that goes beyond the idea of gender identity or sexuality or any of it, you know? And I feel like that is at the very root of that Cancerian energy. It's the safety to even be able to connect to one's deep feelings. And it's having that sort of containment to be able to move through that process. And what's been so beautiful is that I've been cultivating throughout this time, I've been receiving and cultivating this vision for community and for home, because part of what I am desiring to give to the world and part of what I know I'm here to create for the world are these home spaces for humans to experience this degree of safety. To be able to move through their process, to be able to be in their transformation, and to arrive to their most authentic expression.
Yes.
Oh, this is so touching.
Yeah. The cancer in me sees the cancer in you. I'm a cancer and I just really feel you. I feel you on it. And yeah, something that's like come up on my journey, and I'm curious like how it's come up for you is during this like physical transformation where you felt this kind of like internal core that was guiding you, and then you're like, okay, I want the external to kind of match what I'm feeling on the inside, right? How, like a true cancer question, like how did the people in your life, like your friends and family, because I imagine there are people listening and watching that might be going through a similar transition or feeling something come up in them, and they're like, how are the people around me going to handle it and take it? Like, how did the friends and family respond to this transition? How did you hold yourself through it? If maybe there was any like clapback or like resistance, like I'm just curious how you kept your center through that all, and what their response was throughout your journey.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. So before this sort of more biological, physical transition, I did socially transition in the sense of I was identifying as non-binary and using gender-neutral pronouns for many years prior to this point. And that felt really organic, very natural for me. And it's still a part of my being that I connect to. So it's not as though I went from one sort of extreme to the other. I feel as though there was just sort of, in a sense, years of preparation, maybe, if you will, in that it wasn't a surprise, you know, to my parents. But some there have been some responses from certain folks more having to do with this idea of what's natural, you know? And at the end of the day, I feel very strongly connected to nature, to Mother Nature, and to this idea of the natural. And I like to expand beyond the idea of the body and into the soul, you know? And I genuinely feel with all of my being that this is part of my soul's path and purpose, and that I am honoring my soul by virtue of taking these exact steps. This is what I'm here to do. And I think there's nothing more natural than honoring that. And so whenever I'd sort of get these kinds of comments that were pointing more towards whether or not it's right or whether or not it's natural, I would return to that knowing deep inside, you know, like you said, at the core. And my soul was speaking to me in this way that these were the steps that I needed to take. And it was really that simple. That was something that really got me through.
Yeah, this is like even the soul journey of what you're sharing now and your Chiron being in Cancer. I just think it's so interesting how our souls choose these, like Chiron representing the wounded healer for anyone listening that's not familiar with that. And I just think it's so interesting how our souls choose these paths. Your middle name also being soul, like we could talk about that as like the soul's expression as well. And then we choose that for ourselves. So then we put ourselves in these situations, like maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to learn this idea of safety through feeling unsafe in my body. So I'm going to come into this different body than what feels safe or familiar so I can learn this lesson and grow through this experience and become a healer for others to feel safe in their bodies and safe even when the external doesn't match that internal safety. And like you're saying, that is just such a, just to reflect on what you were saying earlier, it's such a universal deep theme that every one of us experiences at some point in our lives, that feeling of safety and needing to connect with that within. So yeah, I just want to reflect on that. And I just think that's so interesting and beautiful how your journey has led you to where you are now, because of that wound. And like for me, my Chiron is in Leo, but my sun and my Venus are also in Leo. So I'm just like, how is my biggest wound also where I'm supposed to be like seen by the world? And it's just like this ironic conflict of like when I was younger, you know, feeling like I didn't want anyone to see me. I was like so not confident to take up space. But really, the whole time, this is like my biggest purpose of how I'm supposed to shine in the world as a Leo, as a performer, as like this being in the spotlight, something that I like denied for so much of my life. So, yeah, when we really go into those Chirons, into those wounds, there is just so much healing, not just for ourselves, but available for those around us. And I would love to hear more about your vision of creating safe and transformative houses for other people. Like, are you talking about other people who are, you know, going through a similar transformation with their gender identity or just like in general transforming in their lives and just sharing a little bit more about your mission and your vision?
I love that that's what you just shared because it's so connected and so appropriate. Leo. So my rising sign's Leo and like 0 degrees of Leo. So like this red hair and like but I would attract a lot of attention to me, but also felt so uncomfortable with being seen. And part of that, I now understand, was just feeling incongruent in my body, you know? So even to arrive to this point where I'm sharing openly about this and sort of putting myself out there more as an artist, just as a creator, you know, it's been such a journey of coming into a space of allowing myself to be seen and allowing myself to shine, you know. And one of the interesting things about going through a transition is that, like, prior to this point, I felt like I was hiding in plain sight, you know, like I would be interacting with people, but I never really felt like they were seeing me. And now it's this bizarre experience of like being seen, but like having lived all this life. So it's just this really interesting juxtaposition of having walked through the world and gathering years of experience, but and also feeling brand new, like I just arrived, you know? And I've been in this time, I've been cultivating this vision of Rainbow Tribe. So Rainbow Tribe is tied into so many different things, you know, but particularly relative to this idea of how at this time I see those who are creating a new earth are those who are from this polarity, this duality of black and white, are embodying or able to hold all of it so as to allow for the colors to burst through that black and white, the full spectrum. And I've connected into this in so many different ways. You know, I've connected into it through being on the Hawaiian Islands. I've connected into how there are Native American traditions that connect into this idea as well. And this idea as well of being two-spirited and what that means relative to being able to embody a full polarity. But and also just that of being the artist and that of being neurodivergent and that of being queer, there's this theme, this thread of rainbow that runs through all of this. And I see the unified purpose of this rainbow tribe being that of bringing this full spectrum of color and possibility to the world, to this idea of new earth, right? And so as I've been cultivating this vision of community and of home, I see it as a space in which there is support for artists to be in their gifts. Because in learning to value myself through embodying my truth, I've also been having to learn how to value my creative gifts in a society that doesn't necessarily value these things, you know? That's been such a big pain point that I've been working through. It's also been a way for me of reframing what it means to be queer, in the sense that what I've experienced and what I know to be true of queer community is that a lot of the ways in which we have been modeled to connect to one another are still rooted in coping mechanisms from times when there was so much shame and so much stigma around having some sort of sexuality that wasn't heterosexual, that the ways in which we had to relate to one another, you know, were rooted in going to bars and getting drunk and things like this, you know, like sort of taking what it means to be queer and reframing it as this tremendous gift of incongruency and why that's a beautiful thing and why that isn't something that needs to be suppressed by coping mechanisms or anything of the sort, you know? I've received the word hearth. Hearth is what has been coming through to me so strongly. And I see that as being connected into the sacred flame, the spark that each of us carry within. And that encapsulates heart, and that encapsulates earth, and that encapsulates art. And altogether, hearth is this space of safety for that sacred flame to be stoked, to be activated. And I see this being tied into the creative gifts of music, of sound. I see this being tied into being able to, or having the space rather, to dance with the shadow and come through to the light and to continue to sort of do that. And I see that as well as being a space that those who are neurodivergent, this being another part of my journey that's been so significant, those who are neurodivergent, those who are super sensitive, are creating because of those gifts of sensitivity, because of those gifts of not seeing the world in a typical way, you know?
Wow, this is such a beautiful vision, and I love the words that are in that word hearth, as you're bringing that all through, and the layers. And yeah, what I'm hearing is that this is a place for people who feel neurodivergent or queer, or just like they don't necessarily fit into the mainstream society, who value creativity as a place for them to connect and cultivate their creativity and their gifts and expressions without it needing to be like in a party setting. And that's so interesting that you brought that up, because I remember growing up, and my favorite place to go underage was the Gay 90s in Minnesota. It was like the best bar, and they always had like underage nights. And I'm like, yeah, these people know how to party. Like, and still to this day, like, it's kind of a reputation that the gay, queer, non-binary culture has accumulated, is this kind of like party culture and hookup culture. And I think in a lot of ways that can really be disempowering and limiting. Instead of like bringing the beautiful rainbow together in a way that's uplifting, it's almost like it's like a, like you're saying, like a coping mechanism for the trauma and the pain that so many people who have been rejected from their friends, from their families, who don't feel safe, who don't feel like seen and able to really express themselves, kind of like go to, and they find this like alternative community of coping. And so I love that there is this bigger vision that's unearthing through you, and probably through the collective right now, of alternative ways of coming together and celebrating the rainbow. Not to say that like partying isn't fun sometimes, but if that's like the only community for that, it just doesn't seem, kind of feel like we're missing the point of like really celebrating the beautiful colors that we all have to offer. And I'm curious too to hear, like, is this a place, is this a vision that potentially so many of us could really resonate with? Because something Heather and I were talking to Barrett, our guest last week, about was like how really, like, most of us, we really are all on the rainbow spectrum. Like, who isn't, if we're all honest with ourselves? And so I'm wondering, like, if the future that you see, the vision that you have, goes beyond just, LGBTQ, and really just encompasses like that actually we're all part of this rainbow. We're all part of this spectrum. It's within all of us if we really open ourselves up to that experience of the fullness that we have.
Something that's coming to me in hearing your share. I love that, by the way. The 90s, the 90s gay dance night. No, I mean the parties are epic. Listen, like I had a lot of fun. You know, I grew up in New York. I went through my
It's
I
so
was
fun.
I mean it was fun, but it was also so destructive. Like it really truly like now it's like it's taking instead of oblivion, it's ecstasy, right? That's really for me the switch and rather than it being, you know, to ingest toxins, no, like let's ingest elixirs of life. Like let's be putting vitality into our bodies and like really shining in dance, in party, in music, in expression. But yeah, no, what you're saying is that's exactly right. In the sense that like I've always found these different categories to be so limiting. And in particular, even though the LGBTQ community is one I've belonged to the majority of my life, in that I've come out of so many queer closets in my life, you know? For me, something that never quite landed or resonated was that it's ultimately oriented around sexuality. And though I can connect into my sexual energy, and I feel that very potently. I also more so identify like within the range of demisexual. Like, it's sexuality is not something that feels super, super, super like a focal point in my life, to the point where I would be leading with identifying around how my sexual energy expresses. That just, it felt like a limitation. It felt like I wasn't actually presenting something that feels most essential or important to me, you know? And yeah, when I started to just think about the rainbow in ways that encapsulate so many different things, I said, this finally feels like I'm arriving to something that is vast enough to hold all of these different facets of being, and to cultivate that consciousness of expansive color is something that I feel would benefit all, you know? And what a fun party that would be.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm loving this so much, because everything that's being discussed is landing so deeply in my being. Even the just like backtracking a little bit and talking about like the gay queer communities and the party scene, and like you said, like partying is great, right? But like, why are you there? And why are so many people within the spaces of those communities there? Like, and I think understanding like the intention behind it, like, hey, am I going to blow off steam because I haven't faced something in my life? Or I'm like, am I going because I actually just like want a glass of wine and I want to spend time with my friends? Like, there's a dramatic difference. So I love that you're birthing this collective, this community, that where there's an alternative, right? Where people can just show up as they are. And maybe that's like, they're still processing something, like they're moving through something and their life's kind of a mess together, and that's okay. But knowing that they can like be with that discomfort and not have to cope, like not have to find a coping mechanism. They can like actually sit with it and be with it in a safe environment. And yeah, I'm so grateful that you're bringing this to the world, and it's really important. And what was coming through when you both, like we've talked about this, Elf, and you were sharing that it's like less about an attachment to a specific like gender and more about just like what's coming through the truth of your being and its expression. And Alfred Kinsey, are you familiar with Alfred Kinsey's work? He was a sexologist and a biologist, but he talked about this scale, and he uses, it's outdated research, but like he said, everyone is on this scale between like gay and straight, and that fluctuates and moves, right? It's like a spectrum, and it's like perpetually shifting and changing, and there's a lot of like freedom and mobility in it. And then what you're sharing and what we've been sharing around this was like, what's landing for me is that truth that like we're everything and we're nothing. And like, how can we find the space of freedom in all of that?
I love that you're bringing up movement too, because in contemplating this idea again of new earth or heaven on earth, right, that folks associate with 5D, and we're in this 3D reality, the bridge is 4D. The fourth dimension is time, and time is movement. Time is nothing more than movement. And something that's been so interesting has been really, really playing with movement in the physical body, playing with movement in the sense of even learning the patterns in which the planets are moving, and how our whole solar system is moving within the galaxy around this supermassive black hole. Like, that movement, the movement is so essential to us bridging the gap between 3D and 5D, you know?
Yeah, it's more fun to move, right? Like, if there's a whole playground, a whole amusement park of rides and toys, like, why are we going to stay on the same roller coaster the whole night? You know, like, it's fun to move around and to play and to try all the different experiences out. And of course, there's probably going to be like the one roller coaster or like those couple rides that are our favorite, and maybe we spend more time there. But if we're there all the time, it kind of gets boring, or maybe we get sick because there's too many like loops to go upside down on. You know, but it gives us a thrill every now and then. And like, that's really how I'm starting to understand gender, is this like playground, this amusement park, this arcade that's just like Can be so explorative and fun if we just allow ourselves to loosen up and shake off those rigid roles that we have been and boxes that we've been placed inside of by society, by our families, by really the world at large. And I was talking to someone the other night, my friend on Maui, and we were talking about how all the ways that we've been divided, like into all these groups, right? Like so many brackets. But if you go all the way back, like you go beyond Republican, Democrat, you go beyond, you know, college graduate, mom, dad, this, that, and you go all the way back, like the first bracket of splits goes from when we're born. And you go, okay, you're either boy or girl. And then from there, we just keep getting split, keep getting split, 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 split. But if like we go back to that like crux of when we first get split, like imagine a world where we come in and we're just like, you're a human. We're all humans. And like maybe you have this anatomy, but we're not going to just split you off. And like, it's like when you get assigned a boy or assigned a girl, you're just like sit on this, like that's your lane that you're in now with the clothes that you wear and the colors that you wear and the jobs that are suitable for you, right? And like the discrimination that you're subjected to and all of these things. And it's just so interesting, like how do we go back? And like, what is, I guess my question for you, like maybe for any of us, like what can we, what would the world be like if we just came out and we were just viewed as humans? Like, what would that world look like? How would we be different because of that? It's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, I love you bringing this up because it's true. It is the very that very first split, and that's so key. And I'm wanting in speaking to this, I'm also wanting to speak to a fear that I hear sort of perpetuated relative to this, and it's this idea that then the gifts inherent in masculinity and femininity will be lost, and we'll all just become this androgynous, you know, blob or something. Like people seem to feel like androgyny means the end of masculinity and the end of femininity into this like kind of average space. But I would argue right now we're kind of more in that average space because of how hyperpolarized we are. So it's like there are these periods of like, I would say the average human expression is polarized one way, polarized the other way, but in also seeking to come to some kind of average in a way in which neither the masculine nor the feminine get to shine, by my perception. And the paradox inherent in transition that I've been learning, it's been so amazing. It's been so amazing because it's like this idea of within Jungian psychology of the anima and the animus, right? When I was in a more outwardly feminine expression, I was really tapped into and experiencing that masculine spirit wanting to come through. And now that I'm in this more externally masculine presentation, I'm experiencing this deeper connection to the anima, the feminine core within me. They've just switched around, but they both are deepening in how I'm experiencing them, you know? And neither is lost. It's more that now I have the space to be able to say, Onyx is male, Onyx is masculine, right? But, and also Onyx Sol Bianco in totality is beyond this idea of masculine. So on certain levels of being, when I have reflected back to me my masculinity, that feels amazing. But and also it still feels like just one part of the picture. But it's not that there's been this averaging out that's resulted in a kind of erasure of the feminine that I was cultivating prior and the masculine that I'm cultivating now. It's that they're both being enriched, you know? And this idea of what it would be like if we were just simply born and told we were human. My God, what a beautiful and amazing concept, because right now I see so much of the pain that people are experiencing or that they're causing to themselves or to one another is because of the rigidity of these roles and just how limiting they are. You know, I mean, I've been able to really, with much greater nuance and much greater empathy, connect to the experiences now of both men and women, you know, because I can say that I've had this privilege of walking through the world and being perceived as a woman and being perceived as a man, and just how radically different that feels and how both men and women face very real limitations, face very real suppression, face very real stereotypes that are just so detrimental. And why not begin with just simply being human and do away with this rigidity, this, you know, like I just
we are
back to that fluidity.
I actually would love if you're open to it to double click on this, because I never thought about that. And like, what an interesting, unique, and like powerful perspective that you've had walking through the world being perceived in two different ways. Are you open to sharing what the variations were, like how your body feels different walking through the world being perceived in two different ways? Because it's just so interesting to me.
Yes. 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 I can say there's so many things that are interesting about this. I mean, I went through a phase where in trying to embrace what I thought it meant to be feminine, like I was super feminine presenting. I had longer hair. I wore heels and things like this. And really it just, in terms of taking up space, I felt much more like this when I was in my feminine, and I felt much more unsafe in moving through the world. But, and also I recognized that there was a power inherent in my femininity. There was a power inherent in understanding that by virtue of how I appeared, that I could understand the sort of effect that my physical beauty would have. And I could play with that in a way that would cause me sometimes to feel safe, but it was very exhausting because it was a form of seeking to manipulate the exterior circumstances so as to feel safe. There was no inherent safety in that, you know? And also too, just having had these experiences as well of like I think about certain workplaces that I was in, and having these ideas to share and having the intelligence that I possess and feeling as though those things weren't really seen or as though they weren't really, it wasn't really heard. There just wasn't as much space for that, for me to show up in those ways, you know? But, and also when I think about now in being perceived this way and moving through the world in this way, it's true that I feel as though I can take up more space, but it's because I'm in my body more. But the ways in which I've felt limited in this way have been around emotional expression and around connection to beauty. In that, in the past, you know, like I'm someone where if I pass flowers, I'm going to stop and smell them. But I caught myself giving thought to such a simple and pure act. Like, what would it be perceived as for some guy on the street to just be smelling this beautiful flower? Like, or noticing that there's such a very, very narrow range of emotional expression that is typically present in male spaces or in male company. And I mean, not in all, right? I'm just speaking to sort of more general or more typical, like moving through the street type of scenarios, right? But just noticing that I'm someone that's very expressive, and I kind of move through a lot of ranges in terms of like how my voice sounds or how animated I look, and like feeling almost this need to, so as to be safe, again, bringing it back to safety, so as to be safe, to kind of like clamp down and narrow down that range of expression. So it's like physically I feel more present and more safe, but emotionally feel less safe. And that's ultimately something I'm trying to convey to folks that are listening. It's that both in being perceived as a woman and being perceived as a man, there's still a profound experience of this observation around safety and feeling safe. And I would argue that neither parties can feel safe in this world in which there are such rigid expectations around what is acceptable for a man or a woman or anyone to be, to show up as, you know?
Wow, this is fascinating. And I think this is really going to show us that this is a universal, again, like safety is a universal theme that just supersedes gender. And it's so interesting hearing like the emotional safety versus the physical safety, which is such a collective wound where women physically haven't felt safe and men emotionally haven't felt safe. And it really does feel like we are being called into this age of sacred androgyny in the way, not in like a blob way, but in this like masterful, powerful way where we get to claim all of our safety. As a woman, we get to take up space and we get to feel safe in our bodies and in our physical presence. And as men, we get to feel safe to express the full range of our emotions and our innocence and our purity, like smelling our right. That's like such a beautiful, pure, childlike act that as a woman, I wouldn't even think twice about doing. But it's, yeah, it just goes to show that when we really are able to be in one expression, like the more that we go into one, it actually opens up space to go more in to the other. It's kind of like the more we go into our shadow, the more light that opens up, the more we go into our pain, the more pleasure that opens up. So it just makes sense to me that the more that we go into like a feminine or masculine part of us, it's opening up the space on the other side for us to also go in the other direction and really experience the fullness of that rainbow that lies in between. And I'm kind of like hesitant to even use the words masculine and feminine, but just between this like yin and yang polarity, right? And like, the more that we just polarize ourselves in one direction, like that we can actually also polarize ourselves to be in the full experience. But we have to know what that feels like. And most people, I actually feel like the people that are really stuck in their gender and won't diverge from that, they're actually the androgynous ones. They're actually the blobs that are like just staying in the yellow part of the rainbow. And they haven't wanted to fully experience the extremes of either. And the more that we actually open up ourselves, like we are finding that arcing, that does feel like the full spectrum of safety within, and then safety that's reflected outward.
So beautiful. Yeah, I think also like the way that you've had the gift, really, it's a gift to have walked through the world and been able to experience these two perspectives. And it feels like there's these two inherent wounds that exist in the collective, like outside of the space of masculine and feminine, because we hold both, right? We hold both polarities in us, but there's this sense of lack of emotional safety and lack of physical safety. So it feels like through this conversation, like I now leave with the sense of knowing like where my work is headed. Like knowing what I need to do in order to really like experience the full spectrum of rainbow, of like being able to feel safe, like you were sharing, Onyx, step into all of that. It's like I get to like dig deep into the root of my emotional and my physical safety. So like I'm so incredibly grateful that you shared that. That is such a golden nugget that you're sharing with me. I know Alfina, and like with those of you that are listening, like this is a clear direction to head in, like for the collective, in order for us to really like powerfully embrace the full spectrum of what we really are and what we came here to do. And yeah.
And realizing as you're saying this too, like they're not separate. Like when we feel unsafe, like if a man feels unsafe in his emotions, then that's just like an invitation to, yeah, to go into them, right? And to feel them and find out that you have just as much capability and ability to feel your emotions as deeply as another like feminine in your life would. And same for us as women. And I don't know like how often we're on the other side of it where we feel like, oh, well, like I haven't felt safe to express my emotions because of this or that. But really this all lies within us. And it's just the outside, our stories of what we can like your story of like, oh, is it safe for me to like smell this flower? Because what will other people think of me? But in reality, like when you stop and smell that flower and you're in there like innocent, feminine, whatever, I don't even know if that's like a feminine thing, but right, it's like an emotional safety thing. Then you're giving permission for other people, no matter what they look like, no matter what they resonate with, you're giving people just permission in general to be in that same soft, innocent space. And the more that we like come out of that, this age of victimization, like as women, I don't feel safe in my body. like we are creating that feeling of unsafety. Like we are putting out that energetic aura of unsafety around us. And the more that we can just feel safe within and feel safe within our physical vessels, then we're not going to be, yeah, we're not going to be like emitting that, that aura of unsafety. And it's just, it's like within, without, it's just all so connected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think also like, I totally hear you, Elf. And I think also acknowledging the people that do like carry that fear, right? There's like a reason why these like collective boundaries have kind of been built and have turned into wounds because of the expression that the collective has taken towards masculine, feminine energies. So like, just those of you that listening, like, I don't want to dismiss like that tension that you feel in your body, like if you identify with as a woman or a man, you know, like it's been there for a reason. And I think it's more about acknowledging why it's been there and like why it's existed in our body. And I think that's the way through it, right? Like that's the path to say like, hey, it exists. It's existed for a reason. Perhaps it's kept us safe, like in genuine times of like potential danger, you know, like it's been there, it's served us. And I think having the gratitude for us will allow us to transmute it. So I just wanted to speak into that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's coming up for me around that as well is, I mean, even now looking the way that I do, and even now having integrated and embraced my masculine to the degree to which I have, I've also been frankly astonished with how much fear has been just sort of programmed into, or has been, I want to say almost like embedded in my physical vessel because of navigating the world and being perceived as a woman and how unsafe that felt, but and also ancestrally, you know, I know that this is an ancestral wound as well. And even like one of the most profound and recent mushroom journeys that I had, right? I was sitting with my friend, and he was like, literally part of the medicine of that journey was that I didn't even feel safe enough to face him. There was this very gradual sort of incremental shifting that I was doing with my body to even feel safe enough in the space to be directly facing him, because there was still some part of me that was so triggered around just feeling unsafe in this space with this other guy from these sorts of experiences that I've had. And it's like, I think about how something that I've shared with several folks relative to this journey has been that for me to forgive, for me to understand, for me to feel a sense of connection with and safety to the masculine, like I literally had to become him. I had to become him to even be able to wrap my brain around that, you know? And even in doing that, it's like what you were sharing, Elfina, about how these two types of safety are so connected, you know? It's like, even now in walking through the streets, right? Just the other night, some guy in a space of anger, right? Because obviously not feeling safe to emotionally express himself, literally tried to pick a fight with me for no reason at all. Was just like, you want to go, right? And I'm like, seeing like that's very clearly someone in emotional distress that doesn't have a feeling of safety around emotionally expressing, and that manifests as physical unsafety, you know. And then I think about how women, in feeling physically unsafe, because there's such a degree of high alert, there's such a degree of being in fight or flight, there's no spaciousness for that emotional expression or safety to occur, like amongst the masculine or with the masculine. It's like, again, both sides, there's this feeling of unsafety. It's just to which degree are we aware of it, or how is it manifesting? How is it expressing? And I guess if there's any one thing that I wish to convey, it's this. So as in the hopes that we can learn how to hold safer space for ourselves and for others, and maybe to view ourselves and others in a more empathetic lens, you know?
Wow. What you're saying is like what I was trying to share earlier and it wasn't coming out correctly, but it's like they're so connected, the emotion and the physical. And it's like what we are scared of in the other gender is actually what we're scared of within ourselves. Like as a woman, Like sometimes I'm scared of my own emotions because they don't feel safe. Like they felt very overwhelming. And I would bet to say that a lot of men have not felt safe in their own way that they handle anger and maybe get in fights or are like physically aggressive. And it's like whatever we're fearing in the other is just a reflection of what we fear in ourselves. And so when we can really see that what that person is reflecting is within us and meet that fear within us, then all of a sudden that fear in the external starts to dissipate.
That's so powerful. Yeah, I was just even thinking of the concept of just like power, right? Like if I fear being in my power, it's because I fear innately my own power, right? And if I'm showing up that way, of course that person is going to question the state of my power because we're energetic beings. Like language is secondary. We're primarily energetic. So if everyone feels that, the true state of our intention or our wound or what's underneath that. So yeah, this whole conversation is like really allowing me to know where I need to head to like get down to the root. And I hope those of you listening are like beginning to ask yourself some deeper questions too about like what's underneath this behavior? How am I showing up in the world? Why am I getting this reaction from someone? And just starting to like get really curious, question everything, question yourself, question your leaders, question your questions, question your mom, question your best friend, question your authority figures, like question it all. Get questionable.
Love that so.
Yeah, and I just love that last piece that you shared, Onyx. Thank you. And I just before we wrap, I just want to know if there's anything in your channel that wants to be expressed, shared, conveyed, an important message you want to share with people. This is the time to do.
Really, I'd like to use this opportunity to ask for support, because that's been another big part of my journey, has been learning how to reach outwards and learning how to connect to others. I mean, at the end of the day, part of, I believe, what it means to be someone who has felt incongruent has just been this experience of feeling like an alien in a strange world, feeling sort of very alone. I want to put words to that because that is so real, and it's so pervasively rooted in this type of experience, a neurodivergent experience, a queer experience, a gender incongruent experience, is that of feeling alien. Just putting words to that, saying you're not alone, and that it's okay. It's okay to trust that there are other beings out there who, A, understand, or B, even in not understanding, still genuinely care and still genuinely are there for you, you know? So right now I'm in a very interesting moment in my journey, in that on June 6th, I have my top surgery date, and that is in San Francisco. And I currently find myself on Maui, and I followed my heart and soul and intuition to this space, and feel tremendously blessed in that I've arrived to a space called the Radiance Center. And it is, to date, the most profound expression and reflection of the degree of coming home to myself, and coming home to unconditional love, and coming home to my most radiant expression that I've ever experienced. So I know I'm just right on the right track. But I am seeking support in getting to San Francisco to make this date. And I'm also seeking support in a place to stay when I arrive there. And so I do have, through my Instagram, within my links, there is one that you can follow to support me in this journey of getting to San Francisco and of having time and space to recover. But and also, I'd really love to share as well that something that I'm launching at this time is something that I feel so excited about, and that is what I'm calling House of Benediction. And House of Benediction is an art project that I've been working on. It's a language art project, it's a poetry project, it is a space of sacred devotion in connection to the vibratory power of the word to create our realities. And I believe that there is nothing that is more potent or important to grasp than the word as the key, than language as the keys, and to step into an orientation to the self and to others, that is one of benediction, which is to say, speaking well in the sense of speaking praise, of uplifting speech, of speech that is inherently pointing to the light that we see in others, to seeing the beauty and putting words to it. I feel so strongly about this because at the end of the day, we are creating our realities and we are the thoughts that we are feeding ourselves. We are the words that we are putting out there. And if we are steadily consuming a beautiful diet of language, then our reality reflects that. And that is part of my purpose at this time. So there is that link is through my Instagram as well. And the handle is at OSB the Creator. Yeah, otherwise I feel tremendously grateful to have had the space to have had this opportunity to speak with you. And Elfina, my God, like from the moment that I encountered you, it just I just feel so, so happy that we've been getting to do this dance in these various places.
Me too, Angel. It's been so special, so synchronistic, so radiant, so enlightening, so joy-filled. And I'm so glad this has come full circle from meeting on the Big Island to then both being on Maui at the same time to now being in this little triad with Sis and Heather and all the people that this is going to reach, that this really important conversation is going to reach. And yeah, sending you so much blessings on your journey, and may it be easeful and supported. Mm. And I know that the synchronicities will continue to unfold as you follow your heart and you follow your soul's guidance. And yeah, just continue to be an inspiration for the world around you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us from your heart.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the conversation. It's so beautiful to connect with both of you.
Truly, such an honor. My heart feels deeply expanded. My body feels safe and grounded within the container of this conversation. I just want to acknowledge you for asking for support. And there's so much potency and power in that. And for those of you out there that think that there's no one that will step up for you, like, please, I triple dog dare you to ask for support and see what happens. Use it as an experiment. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing your truth, your vulnerability, your heart. Onyx, it's been like such a pleasure to be here with you. And like Elfina said, be the best on your journey and all the beauty that will blossom in the space of that. And yeah, you answered. I literally wrote here after, I wrote, how can we support you? And that was going to be my next question. And you literally jumped into it. So if that's not a testament to the power of word, I don't know what is, because I've never wrote that down, folks. Like, I've never wrote that question down. So just a little bit of witchy magic there to wrap up our conversation.
Cancerian telepathy.
The best kind.
Telepathy's real. We've had like 70 episodes of this show, okay? Just for the record. So like, that's statistically impossible, but also possible because we're magic. Okay. That being said, amazing. Thank you so much, all of you, for tuning in to this episode of Taboo Talks. We literally would not be here without you. So encouraging you to not miss a single episode of these conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with beautiful, heart-opened, leading minds. Please subscribe on Spotify Podcasts, subscribe on our YouTube, look for Sis Society Taboo Talks. And if this conversation resonated with you, please share these important conversations. It really allows us to continue to create and do what we do and to bring incredible people on here like Onyx to share their story. So please share, please subscribe. It means the world. And if you're interested in joining the conversation, send us a message on our Instagram, Sis Society World, to be added to our private WhatsApp community, where your important voice, where your important voice gets to be heard. Thank you again so much for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you for our next episode. We love you. Thank you for being here. We will see you soon. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the cis society movement.